welcome to Business Law and More, the podcast that's all about the journey, not just the destination. My name is Rina. I'm a lawyer, business owner, and managing partner of Cosbond. This podcast is for creative entrepreneurs where we discuss business insights, legal hurdles, and more to help you build a business and life that you love. Thanks for spending time with me today. Turn up the volume and let's begin. This episode is for landlords who are owed rent from their tenants who have not paid, aka rent arrears. So how do you recover it and what are the options available? And can you charge interest and recover legal costs? Today, I'm joined by Onisha Lakhani, my esteemed partner who specializes in landlord and tenant disputes, to talk about just that. Welcome, Onisha.
Hi, Rina. Thanks for having me here.
It's good to have you here. Now, just let's get the jokes aside. Is it Onisha or is it you, Onisha?
As one of my clients has always said to me, he's going to call me, you are Nisha.
So, Brilliant.
You can even call me Nisha, which is what most people know me by.
That's fine. Thank you. So you are the specialist, or our specialist, landlord and tenant dispute lawyer. So you have seen everything. And I'm sure that our listeners have so many questions for you about squatters and various Section 21 notices and so much. Yeah. But this podcast is to do with rent arrears and particularly with commercial properties. So are you seeing more and more of it now?
Yes, unfortunately, Rina, because of the country's economy and the economy falling into a recession in the latter part of 2023, and with only now a marginal growth having been recorded for the first quarter, I have had a lot of landlords come to me to say, what do we do? Our tenant is either in significant arrears or has only just fallen into arrears, and we want to nip this in the bud before it gets to a level where it's just not sustainable for the landlord. So yeah, there has been a real influx of tenants going into arrears and landlords wanting to take action.
And I suppose the longer landlords leave it, the worse it and difficult it probably gets to recover as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really depends on what the landlord really wants to do. If the landlord wants the property back because they've got a potential tenant with a higher rent, then obviously the landlord will not want to wait for the arrears to build up and then just go straight in and forfeit the lease. But where we are in this economic climate, where you may not have a tenant ready and willing to take on the lease, the landlord's in a dilemma, because what the landlord doesn't want to do is to forfeit the lease, then have an empty premises and be liable for business rates. So it is a real catch-22 for the landlord in such a situation. And it's difficult, but there are other options, and we can discuss what those options can be for the landlord to consider before they take the most drastic option of forfeiting.
That's really interesting you said that. And I'm so glad I don't do your job, because I think I'd just be advising everybody, just go in, change the locks and get them out. But actually, you're right, because what are they going to do with this empty, possibly empty property, and have the rates and everything else? And also, you don't know how they've left the property as well. So you've got maybe all those repairs and dilapidations and things to actually deal with as well. Okay. So if we dive right in, we've got, hypothetically, we've got a commercial landlord with a commercial property and his tenant hasn't paid him rent for a while and has defaulted. And we've got this fancy lease which says he's got to pay rent, but he's not paid for whatever reason. So what are, and I say he, could be a she, what are the options available to the landlord if the tenant defaults?
Yeah, so there are various remedies available to a landlord, but and it depends, as I said previously, it depends on what the landlord wants to do. I find a lot of landlords, some landlords certainly, don't want to evict the tenant. They want to try and have some sort of continuing relationship with the tenant just so that the premises are occupied. And so they're quite happy to enter into a payment plan, for instance, with a tenant to say, let's have a plan that you pay the arrears in installments whilst you continue to pay the current rent, or pay whatever you can from a quarterly basis to a monthly basis, or pay half now, and then we can work out the balance to be paid on an installment basis at a later date, just to keep it going. The quickest remedy is really for a landlord would be to draw down on the rent deposit. Usually on commercial leases, you've always got a rent deposit with the tenant, and subject to the terms of that rent deposit, it would be easiest for the landlord to actually just dip into that deposit and take the rent from there. But this is usually easy for a landlord to do if it's a one-off rent arrears or not significant rent arrears, and there is sufficient in the deposit to take the money.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, there has to have been a rent deposit in order for the landlord to dip into it if there isn't one.
Yeah.
That option's out of the question.
Completely out of the question. Yes, exactly. And even once the landlord's dipped into the deposit, the tenant's got to make good that deposit. So that's going to be a bit tricky as well. If the tenant hasn't got money for the rent, how's he going to get money for the deposit? But for immediate sort of relief for the landlord, that is a possibility. The other one is if a lease has got a guarantor, then the tenant landlord can pursue the guarantor for the arrears directly. The landlord doesn't need to pursue the tenant. They can just bypass the tenant and go straight to the guarantor and then maintain a relationship with the tenant. And it's down to the tenant and the guarantor how they sort out their issues between them. So that's a possibility as well. We then start to go into other procedures, which we can discuss later on how that impacts the landlord on costs, etc. But there's a procedure called the Commercial Rent Recovery or Rent Arrears Recovery. It's called CRA. And the landlord can appoint an enforcement agent to take control of the tenant's goods and sell them to recover the arrears. Quite a drastic measure, but one that the landlord might need to engage in because the tenant is in significant arrears, or there is absolutely no hope for the tenant to pay the rent. And the landlord needs to do something other than forfeit the lease to make sure that the rent is paid. If the landlord was to invoke the CRA procedure, then the landlord can't forfeit the lease. So it's one or the other. And in doing so, the landlord's quite happy for the tenant to still be in occupation, but to come down on the tenant quite hard to get the rent back.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Can the landlord pursue one or more? For example, there's a rent deposit. So the landlord kind of dips into that. Mm-hmm. But it's been, say, a month or so, and the tenant hasn't topped up the rent deposit. Mm-hmm. Could the landlord then just say, fine, I'm going to now pursue and go after the guarantor to make good and top up the deposit?
The guarantor usually is to guarantee the rent. So I'm not sure if you would be able to get the guarantor to top up the deposit. So if the tenant doesn't pay the rent going forward after the landlord's dipped into the deposit, then by all means, we could go after the guarantor. But I don't think the guarantor is there to make good the deposit. So possibly not. But what the landlord could do is, if there's not enough money in the deposit to cover the rent, then the landlord could take that money and then also invoke the CRA procedure and get the enforcement agent to go after the tenant for the balance of the rent arrears, for instance. So the landlord could do that.
That's interesting. Yeah, because I wasn't sure if there's lots of avenues that the landlord has available in parallel, or would it be one after the other? So thanks for that. That's good clarification. So the summary is either draw down on the rent deposit if there is a rent deposit, possibly pursue the guarantor, debt recovery action, or even forfeit the lease if need be as well. But that also comes with its consequences, such as probably an empty property, given the climate, the markets right now. And also these business rates and so on, which are quite expensive.
Absolutely. Debt recovery is one of the things that you've just mentioned. So yes, you could just keep the tenant in there and but just have a money claim against the tenant in the county court for the arrears. The only difficulty with that is that the courts in this country are in a dire state at the moment with backlog. For instance, an email or an application, they're taking 20 weeks to respond to. 20 weeks is ridiculous. So if you can imagine, if you put in a money claim, unless you do it online, which most money claims are, you're having to wait. If a tenant puts in a defense just to buy time, then you're waiting for a court hearing and that could take 18 months. So whilst in theory, issuing a money claim will be brilliant, if the tenant wants to put in a defense, you're in difficulties in terms of getting heard in court. And then there's another way of doing it, which is serving a statutory demand on the tenant. So if the tenant was an individual, you could serve the demand if there was rent of 5,000 or more owed. If the tenant was a company, then if the rent was £750 or more, then you could serve a statutory demand. Again, court proceeding, so the costs. And there's a chance that the tenant might even dispute the demand. And if the tenant responds within 21 days for disputing the demand, then you're straight into the insolvency court with getting directions and then getting a final hearing for that. If the tenant doesn't dispute it in the 21 days, then the landlord has the option of making the tenant bankrupt or serving a winding up petition against the tenant.
Lots of options, actually. Lots of pros and cons with each option as well, which I actually wasn't aware of. But you're right, the courts and the delays, and it all adds up. And in the meantime, I presume the landlord has still got to pay the mortgage and everything else in the background, have all these outgoings without any income.
Absolutely. And pay the legal costs.
Yeah.
The landlord's got to obviously consider all of that. And that's why I started off saying it really does depend on what the landlord wants to do. Because yes, it can be very expensive going down the court route.
So how does one decide? There's all these options. I get it that you should talk to you and weigh it all up. But what should a landlord bear in mind when they're deciding which route to take?
I think the very first consideration that the landlord must have is whether it wants to maintain a relationship with the tenant. So if you do, then obviously you don't want to go down the court proceedings. You don't want to evict the tenant. You just want to wake him up and say, come on, pay up your arrears. I've been chasing you and you've done nothing about it. And the way to do that is possibly say to him, I'm going to issue money claims against you. Or even before you do that, say, let's have some kind of payment plan in place.
Makes sense, actually. I was going to say, actually, that if your tenant's still in there and the landlord's bringing court proceedings, and it's a little bit awkward as well. So yeah, it goes back to, does the landlord still want to maintain a relationship with the tenant? It could be that the tenant's just got into a little bit of difficulty and needs a bit of a kick or a nudge, and legal proceedings might not be the right way, and it might be another route.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just depends. If they've got a really good relationship, landlord-tenant relationship, then the landlord will probably arrange a payment plan and say, let's agree something so that you can start paying me in monthly payments, or we'll set the arrears to the side, but just continue these rent payments for at least for 6 months and see how we go. It's the ways around it just depends on what sort of relationship there is. If you've got the big commercial landlords who unfortunately are not going to be sympathetic, my instructions usually would be to go ahead and forfeit on the basis of rent arrears, even if it is one quarter's rent arrear. But those are the big commercial landlords who can afford the cost of forfeiture and who can afford to have empty premises.
I was just going to ask, what's the court's attitude towards forfeiture as well?
Yeah, I'm glad you've asked that, Rina, because the court's attitude, as I keep getting reminded repeatedly by counsel, is one that they simply do not approve of. Courts don't like landlords depriving a tenant of their business. And so they're not very happy in the county court if you forfeit a tenant's lease by gaining peaceable re-entry. And just to add to that, you can only go in and lock up a tenant from his premises if there are rent arrears. So that's called forfeiture by peaceable re-entry. And you get an enforcement officer or somebody to do that. And the courts are not happy for you to do that because the courts think it's a very draconian measure and there are ways that you can actually get the tenant to pay other than deprive him of his business. So in the county courts, the tenant will get relief from forfeiture. The tenant can make an application and the tenant will get relief from forfeiture, but on conditions that the tenant pays the arrears, pays the costs, and the tenant can go back in.
So it's really not straightforward, is it, actually?
No. Wow. I say to my clients that you can get forfeiture. Yes, you can lock up, but that's not the be-all and end-all because a tenant has a right to apply for relief. And if the tenant gets relief, then you've got to let the tenant back in. And I've had clients say, why can't I let it out to somebody else? And I said, you do it at your risk, because if you do let it out to somebody else and the tenant then applies for relief and gets relief from the court, and complies with the conditions of paying the arrears and the legal costs, and you've now let the property to somebody else, that tenant whose lease you'd forfeited now has a claim for damages against you. You've got to be very careful what you do once you've forfeited the lease.
Yeah, I have actually seen this with a client in my previous life where exactly that happened. He managed to, he just went in and changed the locks and forfeited the lease and then got a new tenant in. Yeah. And the old tenant was walking by and saw this and spoke to you or got some legal advice. And then, all hell broke loose. So, I have seen that. And actually, I don't really know what happened with that, but I can imagine it was very expensive for the landlord to try and settle them both, actually.
Yeah, you've got absolutely.
Now two tenants who are fighting against you.
Absolutely. Okay. And usually they do say, the law does say that you've got to wait for 6 months before you grant a new lease.
Wow.
But exactly. But I've not had a landlord who's taken heed of what I've said to them to wait for 6 months, because they say absolutely not, because I'm not paying the insurance and the business rates and all of that. So they just go ahead and re-let the property.
That's a long time to keep it empty as well. And surely, like, for the area, and if it's an upcoming new area, or there's got some like funding or projects and so on, and to have an empty, vacant commercial unit for such a long time isn't great as well.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. The tenant has 6 months to go back to claim relief. Mm. But there's case law where the tenant's gone back after years. After years. Yeah. And the court's granted relief. It's all a bit up in the air with peaceable reentry. And I think the general sort of feeling is that the courts don't like it. So the courts will allow the tenant back in, unless the tenant's in significant arrears, where I had in one of my cases, and the tenant didn't do anything. We gained peaceable reentry and did nothing, absolutely nothing, didn't go back.
So the long and short of it is, get legal advice before you go in and change the locks.
Yes, absolutely. Get an entire picture of what would happen. And there's other issues. There's technical legalities with forfeiture as well. You might have waived your right to forfeit, in which case you might. And then if you go ahead and knock up, then the tenant could claim wrongful forfeiture. And that is another ball game altogether. And I could do another podcast just on that, where the tenant will go in on, get an injunction against the landlord to be allowed in immediately on the basis that there's wrongful forfeiture. Yeah, it is. It's a real minefield, forfeiture. So yes, by all means, just get an entire picture, 360 view of what's involved when you say you want to go back and lock up.
Yeah, all of this is such a hot topic. And the number of requests we get to do a podcast on landlord and tenant disputes. So Nisha, you're definitely coming back on various topics.
Yeah, definitely.
But I wanted to just touch base on the charges and interest and things. It's all very well the landlord then winning this, if you like, and getting the property back and letting it out and so on. But can the landlord charge interest for the rent arrears and also costs incurred as well in trying to get the rent paid and get the tenant out?
Yeah. Again, it depends on the lease that the parties have entered into, but most commercial leases provide for interest to be charged in default of rent payments, and they also provide for costs. Yes, interest can be charged, and costs as well for the recovery of the rent, the arrears. Although in terms of costs, the ultimate decision is that of the court, if it ever gets to court. But yes, there's always the provision for interest and costs to be recovered.
That will at least is a positive for the landlord. And
yes. Yes.
There is some light there. So that's great. And it's great to end on that positive as well, that if you follow process and get in touch with Nisha and it all goes well, then you could, or the landlord could, recover costs and interest as well for what it's worth.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Nisha, thank you so much for joining on the podcast. And we're going to have you back again, because there's so many topics that we need to cover, squatters section 21 and a whole load of other. And if anyone listening has any other topics as well, feel free to put them in the comments or contact us directly, info@carterbond.co.uk. Nisha, thank you so much for joining.
No, thanks, Rina.
Thanks for listening to Business Law and More, a Carterbond podcast. Before we go, if you enjoy the podcast, please follow and subscribe to the show, share the podcast or tell a friend about it, leave us a review, and stay tuned for more next week.